This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
But typically, they want the stuff to go away. They want it off the property so that their boss doesn't come out and say, "How come that van is still here, Bob?" And it's very rare that a school would have a guy that would want to do eBay stuff. They're under extreme budgetary restrictions. They've got less guys than they used to, and they certainly don't have time for a guy to have fun on eBay, even though he does it himself.
I'm Kiyomi Kiyoshi.
And I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration to help you start, manage, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 297. Welcome back, Kiyomi.
Thank you for having me again.
No comments about three away from 300?
The subtext was there. I didn't know if I should mention it because I've been making it a big deal, but you know I was thinking about it.
I do. I could feel it coming through the airwaves.
You saw like the number three in my eyes.
I did. It was flashing.
Exactly.
Now, I already know what the episode's going to be about, but I'm not going to tell you.
Ooh, so, okay.
Yeah.
Both the anticipation build. That means we're less than a month away. 3 weeks.
3 weeks, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we made it almost. I can see the big 300 on the horizon. Very
Me
good.
Me too. Well, Griff, now that we've gotten that out of the way of us talking about our 300th episode, what's new this week?
Well, this week we have an uncommon sourcing topic. For those looking for inventory to sell on consignment, with us is author and seller Richard Cash, and he's going to tell us how surplus equipment of all types from local government agencies could be a viable source of consigned inventory for selling on eBay. And we have questions to answer about best offers and time away, as well as an unusual question regarding return shipping packaging. It's one I've never heard before.
Oh, okay. I'm curious.
Yeah.
We also are going to have a seller tip too, so make sure you stick till the end.
Yes, it's from one of my favorite sellers too. All that and more. But first, what's in the news this week?
So the only news update is about the eBay Amex story, which is that eBay is discontinuing the acceptance of American Express payments starting August 17th, 2024. There is a story on the eBay Inc. blog if you want to read more details.
Yeah. I know it's been discussed a lot in community.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, if you want more details, head over to the article. As always, we will be sure to link it.
Yes, we'll put it in the transcript. So big news, but I think it's best people go read it rather than for us to try to go into great detail about it. So how did the summer seller check-in go in last week?
It went really well. There were a ton of sellers. Candidly, I also hosted a networking session and they were all related to seller meetings. And I was happy. I mean, I would have been fine with any number, but I thought I was going to get like 17 people to join me. And then at some point I had 200 plus. And we also had a couple of podcast fans.
Well, I think maybe a lot of people might want to show up because they become your fans now that you're on the podcast, right? I'm sure that that's the podcast effect.
I think this is as close to stardom I'll ever get. They were in the chat like, "Wonderful job. Love the podcast. Always listen." So that was amazing. And then we also covered a ton of topics, had some new games. And so I think the sellers enjoyed it. And if you didn't attend the summer seller check-in, then you missed the announcement on this year's eBay Open. A few dates for you all to keep in mind. Registration starts August 1st, and this year's eBay Open will take place September 25th and 26th virtually.
I didn't know that. Well, that's great news. Now we have dates.
Yeah. Keep your eyes peeled.
Yes, that's good to hear. So that's this week's news and updates, and we'll have more next week. But in the meantime, it's time to meet our guest this week, and I'll see you afterwards for questions.
We'll see you on the other side.
Finding new sources of inventory, well, that's the challenge for any eBay seller who wants to keep ahead of the online selling game. And my guest this week is here to tell us about a particular source of inventory that, well, many of us might not have ever considered. He's even written a book about it. It's called The Surplus Guide for Public Agencies. Welcome, Richard Cash.
Thank you, Griff. Appreciate being here.
What is surplus for public agencies?
The public agency model is a different animal than what most eBay sellers do. It's basically a consignment sales sort of situation in that you don't have to pay for the items that you're selling. After the sale, you pay the agency, deducting your commission. And that commission is, I've seen companies charge 48%. My company charges 38%. Basically, providing a service to the public agency in that they need somebody to sell their stuff for them because they are constantly creating surplus. Getting started is the hardest part, of course, but once you get one school district to get your foot in the door, you show them what you can do for them. They all talk to the other purchasing and CBO people, and the word gets around. And once you get your foot in the door, you put together a mailing list. Like in the Bay Area, I've got about 600 people on my mailing list, but even in a small town in Arizona, you could have dozens, if not hundreds, of public agencies. That's everything from school districts to sanitation districts, fire districts, water districts. City governments have many layers. And they often work with two large nationwide auction places, but they can't just put it on themselves. They basically have to give the items. What I call myself is an independent auctioneer. I don't work for the school district, but even if I was a school district and I had a guy named Bob that did a lot of eBay stuff, he couldn't get on these other sites because it's not a marketplace like eBay.
You said it's hard to get started. How did you get started in this?
So I got started doing eBay, selling golf clubs with my father-in-law. But we always did the auction because, I don't know, we thought it was fun. And in those days, there was much more auction environment. But even though auction is only a percentage of eBay's efforts these days, it's still way bigger, I believe, than just about anything out there.
Well, there's not very many online auctions like eBay.
Well, not like eBay, but they're out there. But I believe eBay does better.
You're currently doing this. You're still working with public agencies.
Yes.
There's different things that you have to consider as a seller, whether it's shippable or whether it has to be local pickup or whether you're going to be willing to freight it, because that's going to be your responsibility and not necessarily the responsibility of the public agency who's liquidating the inventory.
Right. Although the responsibility is really the buyer's in terms of either picking it up personally or paying for a freight. You got to realize a lot of these items may be 40-year-old tractors that still run.
Big market for those. I know a lot of collectors.
I know. They love them. But to freight ship one to Tennessee is going to be as much money as maybe you paid for the tractor. So yeah. Local pickup is how we thrive. And we have a lot of repeat buyers from down in the valley. And they'll come up from Fresno to the Bay Area to get stuff because there's not that much stuff in Fresno. So when I do auctions, we typically deal with maybe 20, 30% are repeat buyers because they're there for the deal.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, there's a lot of ins and outs with the business end of this, like having some liability insurance is a pretty good idea if you're out there.
Is that a requirement for some of the agencies?
I think there are some that do require it. I offer it for every client, and it's more of a sales tool.
Yeah. It's not something you have to use on a regular basis.
Yes, Griff. I've been paying for it for 18 years. I've never used it once, which I guess that's how it's supposed to work. Yeah. Why am I doing this?
I was going to ask Richard, why are you getting your business? Tell us.
I'm an eBay guy. I like eBay sellers. I would like to see the eBay marketplace even be stronger than it is in auctions. And the fact that it lines up so much with the requirements of the Ed Code and the Civil Code in terms of the 7-day auction, you can't be more transparent than an eBay auction. I mean, it'd be great to see eBay somehow even promote independent sellers working with public agencies because this is all driving more people to eBay. But in terms of this additional stream of income, when I went to the eBay shows in Vegas, I met so many people that I learned so much about how they work, their inventory and sourcing of the products. I learned a lot. it made me realize that it was a similar way of selling on eBay, but completely different.
A lot of consignment sellers actually do that today and do it successfully. I think like public agencies, there's a lot of people who just want to get rid of it and get something out of it. And they're not willing or don't have the time to actually set up and do it themselves. So that, yeah, but a lot, you'd be surprised. A lot of consigners are happy
maybe
to
pay that. Maybe I should give into some consignment sales here, Griff.
Well, it's never too late, Richard.
Never too late. I mean, the public agency model and consignment are very similar in that you're not selling items that you've had to pay money for.
Right.
That money can get you closer to restocking your eBay store or creating another store or buying another pallet of widgets. And if you're dealing with the transportation guy, well, the money's not even going to go to his garage. You know, it's going to go to the general fund.
It goes back to the state or the county or the school district.
Yeah. So once you get that flow going with a public agency, it can be a sweet spot because, you know, you want to go out there every 4 weeks and do an auction. And then the guys there, they get used to putting things in a pile, putting them aside. And sometimes the older guys, anyway, they're not too excited to see you because in the old days, a lot of stuff used to just kind of go in the back of their pickup trucks. And, you know, okay. And so the Ed Code, California Ed Code, got very particular about rules. It has to be an auction format, and it's usually local pickup. But typically, they want the stuff to go away. They want it off the property so that their boss doesn't come out and say, "How come that van is still here, Bob?" And it's really rare that a school would have a guy that would want to do eBay stuff. They're under extreme budgetary restrictions these days. They've got less guys than they used to, and they certainly don't have time for a guy to have fun on eBay, even though he does it himself.
So this is a perfect opportunity for you if you're thinking about finding other sources of inventory, and you've maybe even dabbled in consignment selling. This could work for you, and as Richard says, best place to start is right in your backyard, perhaps your school district. Perhaps you could go to City Hall or the county office as well. Have business cards ready, I would suggest, and say, "Hey, I sell on eBay and I'd be interested in liquidating your surplus for you." And it's a great way to get in the door. I'll mention the book again. It's called The Surplus Guide for Public Agencies. Even though it's written for agencies, reading through it, I learned a lot. So if you're considering it, you might want to pick up Richard's book. You can find it in fine bookstores everywhere and on Amazon. So, Richard, I hear that you've got something planned for the future. Can you tell us about it?
Well, I am going to have a podcast. In Q4, certainly, I'm going to start up a podcast that's going to be public agencies selling on eBay. It's going to get into some of the intricacies and some of the challenges, and then probably highlight a couple of my hero epic lorry sales and things like
that. Oh, excellent. That'll be interesting. So as soon as you know, let us know and we'll promote the podcast on our podcast. Richard, it's always a pleasure talking with you, and thank you for coming on our podcast and talking about this potential source of inventory for eBay sellers. Thanks again.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Richard Cash has written a book about this particular topic. It's called The Surplus Guide for Public Agencies, and we'll make sure there's a link in the episode transcript for this episode so that you can find it easily.
You've got questions.
Well, we've got answers. And our first two questions this week, Kaomi, were sent in by one of our valued regular listeners. You know, we have those. We do.
Oh, I'm well aware. They make themselves known.
Well, this next seller likes to write in, and we love it when she does. So would you do the honors and read it?
It would be my pleasure. Regular Suzanne writes to podcast@ebay.com. Can we clear up the wonderful time away and best offer features? It's buying season and I'm off to Brimfield and other antique shows, so we'll be using time away quite often this summer. During time away, I'm still working and would like to send and accept best offers. So, do I need to adjust before I leave shipping times each time away in order to ship on return without getting the dreaded zing? Or does eBay in fact adjust the shipping on my return date that I specified in Time Away? Thank you both for clearing this up. All the best, Suzanne Shearman.
I'm laughing because she said without getting the dreaded zing. It's actually ding. That's the word all sellers use. I don't want to get dinged. But I love that she said zing because it
I know.
Zing went the strings of my heart.
I know, she made it sound like a good thing almost. The dreaded zing.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that zing. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. Welcome back to questions. Whether you choose to allow sales or pause them during Time Away, those delivery dates won't be updated for like second chance offers or auto accept offers or pending counter offers or seller initiated offers. Items for local pickup or in-store pickup is the shipping option. Digital items or athletic shoes eligible for authenticity guarantee. So if that's how that works, and I know the reason why I'm glad she sent this question in is because you see a lot of discussion about this. And again, some not accurate information. And I think it's important to make this clear. So thank you for giving us that opportunity. And also, Suzanne, you may want to change the shipping format or the handling times on these items while you're away at Brimfield. I'm so jealous. I haven't been to Brimfield in, what, 30 years?
I've never been, but one of our sellers just went. And so he was telling me all about it and then met up with some other eBay sellers while there. And I was so jealous.
Yeah. I guess it's three times during the year still. There's one around Memorial Day, one in the middle of the summer, and one at the end of the summer. And years ago, it was like 3 days. I think it's a whole week now. And it's one of those flea markets where they basically take over the whole town of Brimfield, Mass. So there's realistically, there's no way you could see all the antiques and collectibles and weird and unusual architectural items that sellers from all over the country drag to Brimfield to offer to collectors and other dealers. It's great fun. I always wondered if I'd get back there, but who knows? For those of you who made it to Brimfield, we'd love to hear stories about it. Send them in to either our podcast at ebay.com address or 888-723-4630. Anyway, so that's that question. Also, you can change your handling time using the bulk edit feature in Seller Hub. Go to Seller Hub Listings Active View.
And Suzanne, you can always view more about Time Away on the eBay help page for that topic. And as always, we'll be sure to include that link to the help page in the transcript for episode 297. Until then, enjoy your time at Brimfield.
She's probably back by now.
Oh, okay. Well, then write us in again and let us know how it was. Yeah, we're nosy.
We want to know what you bought.
Well, our next question comes from seller Elijah, who sent this to podcast@ebay.com. Hello. I love the podcast and look forward to listening to it every Tuesday. My store is named Dumb Stuff, and I mainly sell 1980s and 90s WWF wrestling magazines. On most of my items, I offer free shipping and free returns. I don't get many returns at all, so overall, I'm happy to offer the free returns and feel I probably get more sales by offering it. I recently had a buyer who had buyer's remorse and wanted to return 12 magazines. Each magazine was a separate listing and was paid for all at once by the buyer using my buy three or more and get 20% off coupon. I, of course, sent all 12 magazines in one package. The buyer sent me a message asking if they should send each magazine back in 12 separate packages. I think I know where this is going.
Yeah.
I politely begged them. I like that. Politely begged. I politely begged them to please not do that, thinking of what I will be charged for 12 separate shipping labels. Is this how eBay is telling the buyer to do it? Does it give them the option to put them all under one shipping label? The buyer ended up packaging them all up together and buying a label at their expense, so I may have lucked out this time, but I'm wondering if I should rethink my return policy for future instances. Thank you, Elijah Dumb. Okay, Elijah, this is an unusual one. Griff, have you heard of this type of situation before happening?
As I said at the top of the hour, no, I've never heard of this. I'm sure there's sellers out there who've had these requests, but I've never heard of this before, so no. But that's what I love about this job. Just when you think you've heard it all, you hear something like Elijah's story. So I got to tell you, Elijah, eBay would not instruct a buyer to ship items that were initially received in one package in two or more separate packages. That's something we would never do. And the buyer will have to ship as they did. They would have to ship the magazines back using the same type of packaging, carrier, and service as was used by you to ship the items to them. In your case, if you had sent the buyer a return shipping label through eBay, it would have been the same as the label you used to ship the magazines with the addresses reversed for, you know, to and from. We never charge a seller more than the cost of the initial label used to ship the item to the buyer? Thank you for the question, because it is a great opportunity for us to let people know that when you buy a label for a return, you will never pay more than the amount that was spent for shipping getting that same item to the buyer.
Yes. And Elijah, given that this is the case, there is no need to change anything in your return policies.
So don't go through that. You don't have to. Well, that's our show for this week, Kaomi.
Yes, it is. If you want to join the fun here on eBay for Business, call us at 888-723-4630.
888-723-4630. You can call that number at your leisure anytime you like.
And if you're not a call on the phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now it's time for this week's tip of the week. And this week's tip of the week comes from eBay seller Trader Don, who writes, "I've been doing creative graphic projects nonstop in the background, but when it comes to my own branding, I'm at a bit of a stalemate. So in the meantime, I've just been Sharpie scribbling these little one-off notes, custom, using the customer's name, a thanks and enjoy, and signed by me with reference to the platform sold upon. The response to this personal touch has been more huge than I could have anticipated. Direct message replies and even some feedback show appreciation for these personal notes. So I need to get my ducks in a row, but until I do, this method has been yielding really good results." Well, thank you, Trader Don. That's good to know.
Yeah, and I mean, it's that personal touch. I, for one, love these. I'm one of those people, like, I collect all of my birthday cards.
You too.
When I get personalized notes, I have one purchase, like I ordered a bracelet off of eBay and someone just wrote like, "Thank you, Kaomi." And I was like, you know, you're very welcome. Like, I love that. And I still have it.
Yeah.
They're just piling up. But I mean, it really is special. Like, I value those things.
Even a curmudgeon like myself, if I'm in a bad mood and I get a package that has a handwritten note, I know what it takes to do that. And it does brighten my day, if only for a few minutes before I return to my curmudgeonly self. So I always think
exactly.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. Well, great tip, Trader Don. And don't forget to check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day and the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
And speaking of our next episode, it's our quarterly All Questions edition. You send them in and we answer them. So send those questions today.
Yes, the more questions you send, the better. I'm a little curious now because I thought that may be episode 300 and that's what you were hinting at, but I guess I'm wrong. So I'll have to go back to the drawing board, Griff. We'd like to again thank our guest this week, Richard Cash.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. We'll see you next week, Kaomi.
See you, Griff.